This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Like most musicians, Willard the Bullfrog McGee respects those who came before him. In Bullfrog's case, the pioneers of Piedmont blues are the icons that inspire him to make music. If it were up to Bullfrog, men like Blind Boy Fuller and Floyd Council would be household names, even in homes of people who aren't blues fans. Bullfrog does what he can to educate people on the importance of preserving traditional blues music, and that includes making music in the style of the artists he admires. His new CD is called Steel and Gasoline. It's a project that he recorded with fellow blues guitarist Tad Walters, who he's going to play with tonight at the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh. But right now, the Bullfrog, Willard McGee, is my guest on The State of Things. Welcome. So good to have you here.
Well, thank you, Frank. That made me sound so reputable.
We do the best we can. We have to justify having you on, you know, so we write things like that.
A difficult proposition at any time.
Now, you came from West Virginia and lived for a long time in New Orleans. Both of those places have really rich musical traditions. What did you grow up listening to?
Well, I was real lucky. You know, my old man had a great record collection, and he took me to see Lightnin' Hopkins, and he took me to see Muddy Waters and Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee and Sun Seals and Arlo Guthrie and Hoyt Axton and Willis Allen Ramsey, and he kind of knew Mo Ash a little bit, and he had great taste in music, and he took me everywhere he knew how to take me to see good music and bass. When we couldn't talk about anything else, without hollering at each other, we could always usually talk about music and always talk about baseball. So,
had those things in common. Now, the Piedmont blues is a particular style. You named a lot of musicians there with various styles.
Right.
When did you focus on that? When did that become important to you?
Well, I think some of that comes from it's interesting because starting in the late 60s, being from West Virginia, it usually meant that you lived in Columbus or Chicago or, you know, I mean, you went out on the hillbilly highways and you only came home on the weekends. And that was the truth of it. You know, they were closing coal mines and they were closing the salt mill and, you know, the timber was going away. So for a lot of people, being from West Virginia meant living in Boston. It's certainly true for Don Stover and the Lilly Brothers. It was always there. That was always the constant. The constant was always to come home to the mountains. The constant was that, you know, Nat Reese lived up on Bell Street in Princeton, and you could go over there and play with him, and he would show you everything he knew. But you know, migration is a big part of this music. You know, Gary Davis lived in New York a large part of his life. You know, all his Delta musicians went up to Chicago or Memphis, and all of those Piedmont guys went up to Newark. You know, the Trice brothers, migrated up to New Jersey and then back down. Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee lived up in Brooklyn, you know. So living out on the road is a big part of the deal, and that's where I heard a lot of that stuff, the records and getting to go to the shows. And then being, you know, when I was a kid, you could call these guys up on the phone. You know, I mean, I looked up Johnny Shines in the phone book in Chicago and went over to his house. Howard Armstrong and Dave Edwards, you know, those were guys who, when I couldn't get white musicians that talk to me and show me how to do anything, those guys were dying to have somebody to talk to, you know, and they were always very kind to me, you know, so it had a lot to do with how I ended up going in that direction.
Can you play something for us now?
Sure. Let's do it. Your producer, Lindsay, who is a genius, I think she's a producer.
And she's a genius. There's no doubt about that.
She's definitely a genius. She said, bring me a list of the songs you're going to do. I said, yeah, I'll get right on that.
So Lindsay, I hope you're taking notes, because here's number one, and we're going to find out what that is right now.
I wasn't sure what I was going to play until I got here. Well, you know, when you walk out of this American Tobacco Warehouse District, this used to be, in a time in this country when $8 a week was enough to keep white workers from organizing a union, because they were complacent about it and felt like that was enough. This was a place where a black worker could make $15 in a week. And they'd walk out of here and they'd walk down, Jackie
Street.
Robinson Boulevard now, but it used to be Pettigrew Street, and they'd walk over into the Hayti, and all along the way, there'd be Sonny Terry blowing harmonica, or Sam Pegleg Jackson would be in, you know, from Rocky Mount, or Gary Davis would be sitting over there at Pettigrew and Fayetteville playing in front of the barbecue stand, or Blind Boy Fuller would be over there. And so it put me in mind walking up here looking at all the beautiful red brick to play a little Blind Boy Fuller song. So let's see what we can do here. Thank you.
Marlon Eggstree. He said, have you read the news? I shot the gal I love, I got them old walking blues. I keep on walking, walking them blues away. Man, and now I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Once I had a car, man, it was painted white and black. Couldn't make the payment, so Jimmy Spears come and took it back. I keep on walking, walking them blues away. Man, and now I'm so glad trouble don't last always. She used to be my sweet milkman, she soured on me. We can't be together, man, like we used to be. I keep on walking, walking them blues away. Man, and now I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Coffee ground in my coffee and a boll weevil in my meal. Tack in my shoe keeps sticking me in my heel. I keep on walking, walking the blues away. Man, and I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always.
Willard the Bullfrog McGee, live on the State of Things. You can hear him tonight at the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Right now he is live here with us. And what a great song.
I like it. That's one of my favorites.
We've got it now as number one on your playlist for this show. You have a special connection with the music of Floyd Council, I know. He was Chapel Hill born, and he became popular in the 30s for playing the blues. Tell us more about Floyd Council.
Well, he ran around with Fuller a good bit. And when you look at, Fuller only recorded with two other guitar players. He recorded with the Reverend Gary Davis, and he recorded with Floyd Council. And Floyd liked to play in G a lot. He was an over-the-road trucker out of Chapel Hill. He moved in the late 60s to Sanford. His wife Pearl died there early in the 70s, and then he died there in 1976, I believe. He's been laying an unmarked grave out there for, 34, 35 years?
You went to look for that, Gray.
I did. There was never any doubt about what cemetery he was laying in. How he ended up there has been an adventure to discover, But he bought a plot, and he was interred there, and then they just never put a rock on.
Yeah, neglected. So you've actually got an effort underway at some point to
we're trying.
That.
Me and Tad Walters and the Questel Foundation and the Triangle Blues Society and there's a whole bunch of us, and we've been kind of running around talking to people about Floyd and raising money, and one of these days here before too long. If don't do this if you're driving. But if you're sitting somewhere, take your hands and put them out in front of you and try and touch your fingers. And if you see that big circle there in front of you, there are some trees that big growing up out of some of the graves down there in that graveyard. So finding him is not going to be has been quite an adventure. But clearing that graveyard out is going to be also a great adventure.
Is it true that Floyd Council is the namesake for Pink Floyd?
Pink Floyd, Pink Anderson, and Floyd Council. Sid Barrett, I think it was Sid Barrett, got the name out of some liner notes that Paul Oliver wrote for a collection of Piedmont blues. And, that's one of the things that I love to talk about is how Piedmont blues ought to be more. Piedmont blues is influential. It's important. Yorma Cogman and Bonnie Raitt both wanted to grow up and be like Gary Davis. And, Sid Barrett named Pink Floyd after Pink Anderson out of Greenville, South Carolina, and Blind Boy and Floyd Council up here out of Chapel Hill. And it was out there. It was out there all the time. It's a versatile form. There's a whole lot of it. And, we have everything here that that, you know, Beale Street has, or Chicago, Maxwell Street in Chicago, or, you know, East Texas has.
You know, well, we got practitioners like you, musicians who actually honor the music and play it, keep it going. But yeah, the fact is, if Pink Floyd was, I mean, if you're talking about a band like that, that's so different. Then, I mean, you don't hear the Piedmont Blues. It has found its way into a lot of different kinds of music, and that's where its life really is in a lot of ways, too. Isn't
right.
It?
Absolutely.
It keeps going. Would you play another song for us?
Sure. Let's do a little Floyd Council thing. She hollered, "Daddy, please don't leave me. Sure do grieve my man. My baby in the kitchen, my sister in the door. My baby in the kitchen, my sister in the door. My little girl in the backyard hollering, 'Daddy, please don't you go.' Steel gun. Wanna get me a raise. Wanna get me a blue steel gun. Man, I'm gonna cut you if you stay. I shoot you if you run. When I first left my home, I left my baby crying. I left my home, I left my baby crying. She hollered, "Daddy, please don't leave me. The child will grieve my man."
Willard the Bullfrog McGee live on the State of Things. His latest CD is called Stealing Gasoline. He and Tad Walter is going to be at the Lincoln Theater tonight here on the State of Things Now. Talked about music being the thing that brought you and your father together when all else was falling apart. Mm-hmm. And I got to get you to tell the story about what happened when your dad asked you what you wanted to be when you grew up.
Well, yeah, he checked in with me periodically throughout life, you know. But early on when I was a little person, he said, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I said, well, maybe I'll be a folk singer. And he clutched me up against his bosom. And, you know, my dad was a librarian. He always smelled kind of like old paper and Kent cigarettes and those little red and white peppermints. And I remember distinctly, you know, his shoulders shaking as he sobbed. And then years later, it occurred to me that he was probably laughing at me. But, yeah, he's...
Did
later
you take
on,
that as encouragement?
No.
No?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody has a hard time with their old man, and I was pretty young when mine died, and that left a lot of unanswered stuff. There was a point at which he thought what I was doing was panhandling, you know, equated playing out on the street and doing this and that with panhandling. And, you know, we struggled through a lot of things. But, you know, there was another time in life, you know, I mean, he set me down, and he got me started, man. He sent me down this wayward path. He showed me a D and an A7 and said, you know, son, now you know 1,000 songs, remember always to use this power for good and not evil. And he said things like, if you're going to be a folk singer, you got to learn a song about the Titanic and a dead hobo and come back when you've got that worked out. And over the years, I learned a lot of songs about train wrecks and dead hobos and all his hillbilly songs in minor keys, although we do prefer to be called Appalachian Americans.
You feel you're doing that? Do you feel that this is something that you're doing for good? I mean, obviously it makes you happy.
Well, I've been doing it 28 years. I mean, if I'm on the wrong path, I've been on it for a long time.
It's too late now. Too late now. Thanks for being on there. I want to give you time to play us out, so I want to thank you so much. What a pleasure having you on.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate you.
You can catch the Bullfrog Willard McGee live in concert tonight at the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Show starts at 7:45. It's going to be perform April 3rd at Southland Ballroom in Raleigh. For more information on these shows or the new CD called Steel and Gasoline, check out the Bullfrog, MySpace, Facebook, or Reverb Nation, any of those. And you can find the Bullfrog and his music where he's going to be. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, the Bullfrog. Willard McGee.
Yeah.
Black as night, the mean old wind began to howl. I could hear the thunder, the lightning touched the ground. I see the rings on muddy waters, man, the sky gone falling down. I went down to Lucky's Ballroom, I watched the rain fall down outside. I went down to Lucky's Ballroom. Why did the rain fall down outside? I tried to drink up all that bourbon, man, all that whiskey, scotch and rye. I said to Katie, Katie, girl, come see what you have done. Katie, Katie, took all that I had and gone. Took my furniture and clothes. The girl even claimed my palm. Now on the corner, Della Chase and Ferretti. Man, the TV like ketamine, it burned your hole.